John.
I'm John.
I'm Mike.
And you're listening to All Yesterday's Parties.
Once again, in location, in the back room at the Greyhound pub.
Indeed.
Oh, such a nice little pub. Serving Titanic
plum porters in hand.
Oh, plums in hand. Balls in mouth. It's a good time for everyone. And
okay.
Once again, tucked away in our snug, we have Doctor Matthew Tyra.
I have been here since last week, hanging upside down from the ceiling like a bat.
It's true. Yeah.
And sitting opposite me, having just emerged from his shell, it is Gordon Cochrane.
Is this the Greyhound or the Titanic?
It's the Greyhound, which is owned by the Titanic Brewery.
Mm. Doesn't sound like a great name for a brewery.
Well, there's a reason behind it. It's because Captain Smith, he was local.
Yes, he was.
He was local, you know, yeah. and he was the captain of the Titanic.
Oh.
Yeah. So it's a little bit of local history.
Isn't it is.
Ooh.
It's, also, it goes down easy, doesn't come back up again.
until it sees something by James Cameron.
Yes. fair. Actually, very fair.
That's brilliant. Okay, so as you might have cottoned on from last week, we are constructing our own festival.
Yes.
So this is going to be going on for this week and then another 2 weeks.
Working title, Festival Fest 2018. Mm-hmm. Working location, unknown.
No.
Unless anyone has any ideas where we'd like to locate it.
Rotating.
Rotating.
In a rotating restaurant.
Yeah, so just
BT Tower.
Right,
yeah,
go with that.
That's fine. My people will have a word with their people, yeah. And then
I'm on BT Mobile.
I'm sure that's enough.
That's a shoe in the door.
That's fine. I'm on BT. I've got BT internet.
Can we have it around the corner from mine?
Does it rotate?
BT Tower?
Yeah, just have it relocated.
Might as well. You know, it's all theoretical. It'll get cancelled anyway.
Just so that I can walk.
That's fine. I mean, again, my people will have a word with their people, and we'll see.
And then
we can...
with Matt's people, and Gordon's people that will be visiting from their home planet.
I don't have any people.
My people are terrifying. Every last one of them.
So, as you might have caught on from last week, festival, we are going to be constructing our own after the one that we were going to go to got cancelled.
Yes. Ooh, we can't even blame Barry for that one.
Can't blame
Barry.
That's ridiculous. So, this week we will be starting with Mike and we will be talking about acts that we have chosen to appear at Festival Fest 2018.
Yes. Right, yeah, I will be leading off with Chibi Tech.
Mm-hmm.
Now, when I mentioned last week, when I was putting my choices together, I wanted to kind of work from a start to close format. Chibi Tech to me is the one I'd put on in kind of early to mid-afternoon to get people pumped, something fun.
Yeah.
To really get people fired up a bit.
Mm-hmm.
And Chibi Tech is, she's a Japanese-American living in Tokyo.
Yeah.
Got her name apparently because when she was little, she was really good with computers and fixed everything for everyone.
Nice.
So her parents called her Chibi Tech or a baby technician.
Yeah. Or supporting character in a current-gen video game.
Pretty much, yeah. So that's her. She is Chibi Tech. She works in the game industry in Tokyo. And so she creates music for kind of retro-style video games for a living. But also, as kind of almost a hobby and a passion, she does chiptune.
Yeah.
And she does it in the old-school way. And you know, a lot of people these days, they'll do kind of some kind of chiptune or chip-style, kind of 8 and 16-bit style stuff, just using effects or, just keyboard effects, things like that.
Crusher.
Yeah, she does it the old-school way, using a Super Famicom. And actually works the internals of the machine, bending them to her will. And so everything is actually...
I think it's just Famicom.
That was the Nintendo Entertainment System. I'm talking about the Super Nintendo System, which is the Super Famicom.
Does she do the Super Famicom?
Yeah.
I thought it was the Famicom.
She won't do that as well.
Maybe she does.
Maybe she does, yeah.
Sorry.
I'm being corrected by God. I'll have to double check. I'm fairly certain it's a Super Famicom that she works on.
The reason I ask is because the Super Famicom actually had some pretty impressive audio capabilities, but so did the NES. And but it sounded more NES to me than Super NES.
Mm, yeah,
or fair SNES.
Okay.
Correct me if I'm wrong. In fact, don't. Because I'm not
whenever I can.
That
well,
it's my hobby.
Well, the important thing is she actually takes a bona fide Nintendo system and you know, does horrific things to
turns
its internals.
Turns it into an instrument.
Pretty much, yeah. And actually records the music on the instrument itself. Mm. And part of what she does, if I'm understanding correctly, generated from an argument slash joke slash bet that she couldn't make a dirty drum and bass tune using this old school console structure. And she proved that person wrong when she dropped Moimi Kunstep.
Yeah.
Parts 1 and 2. Part 2 especially is brutal. It bounces and throbs and goes wub, wub, wub. And there's all kinds of exciting stuff.
Yeah.
Adore. That was the first thing I heard by her. And latterly the remix that she did of it. Which, again, the Evil Swallowtail remix. Fantastic. Even a bit more kind of a pendulum-y in the end, that one. Mm-hmm. But it's remarkable, the kind of noises and the quality of noise you can get out of these old-school devices. And it was not long ago, it might have been earlier this year, that she released the Mutual Promise EP, which, if anything, shows that, you know, she's, I think, maturing a little. It's a bit darker, a bit less silly and fun, and a bit more dark and throbby. But still very much of that. It's hard to stop sounding fun when you're working in a chip tune. Kind of thing. It's a fun kind of sound. But it sounds a
jaunty
bit...
jaunty angst.
Yes, but it's sounding a bit more deep, dark and bassy.
Yeah.
And I'm loving that as well. So the only other thing I would add is that if you ever actually watch any of her live videos, she is quite wonderful. Because it's all actually on the system itself. There's not much live mixing going on. She kind of starts it playing, and then that's it.
And then the world's her oyster.
Yeah, and so she spends a lot of it dancing in the most wonderful fashion. Very, let's say, more enthusiasm than talent. But she's enjoying herself, and that enthusiasm leaks over into the audience. Everyone's having a great time at one of her sets. And that is exactly the kind of joy that I'd want to see at Festival Fest 2018. Anyway, Gordon.
I was just looking up some information, but I spelt Chibi wrong. So, I have not heard of this artist previously before Mike introduced the suggested listening link to me and others, and to you.
to you at home.
And my first thought, without knowing anything about it at all, was that it reminded me of a track by Spore, the drum and bass guy from a few years ago.
Okay.
And he did a track called One Up, which was heavily influenced by chiptune, but didn't use it as the for everything, just the breakdown and various other things. And then when I realised what was going on with this, I thought, that's pretty impressive. That's actually really cool. And again... Mutual Promise, I think, was the... Was that it? I don't know what I've written here.
Yeah, that was the most recent release.
I've written, I like that Tense Max Beam from Mutual Promise. I don't know what that means.
Tense Max Beam is the first track, and then Neuromageddon is the second from the from that EP. Yeah.
And
it's just a two-track, almost a single. More than EP.
Oh, I see. Yeah, I remember. Mm-hmm. So I liked that. I thought it was incredibly impressive. It's got that, anything to do with chiptune, really, well, not anything, because there's some rubbish stuff out there as well.
Oh, God, there's some guff out there.
But, you see, I'm still a fan of the old SID, S-I-D, C64, Commodore 64 stuff, and there's a whole thing that's been released recently with Jean-Michel Jarre type covers of Commodore 64. Anyway, Scotch Egg, DJ Scotch Egg with the Game Boy stuff. But this was really well done. Again, I don't think I can listen to it for entirety of an hour. But I'll tell you what, if there was a live show, I'd definitely be there. And I would enjoy it. And I bet the crowd would enjoy it. And I bet she would enjoy it.
Mm-hmm.
Everyone would enjoy it.
I was just joking. Actually, yeah, you were right, Gordon. It is actually the Famicom, not the Super Famicom.
Yes.
On one of the live videos I saw... definitely said that she was using a Super Famicom, so maybe that was just for some of the stuff.
Maybe that's a forthcoming release.
Maybe. Yeah. But yeah, those tunes were actually Nintendo Entertainment System on Super Nintendo Entertainment System. So you're quite correct.
Well,
carry on.
Not
carry on.
Because, you see, just to kind of add this in, I was always Sega in the console wars. I did play a Nintendo, and I eventually did get a SNES for a bit, but it felt like cheating, so I went back to
Was it an 8-bit?
No. Mode 7, 16. And that's the only reason I got it. And I didn't even get Street Fighter 2, which ends up getting on the Mega Drive. This was all really interesting.
We've tangentialised a little, but yeah. Mm. Just as a further point, I was also more of a Sega person than Nintendo. Carry on.
NES or Sega?
I am not playing science.
Oh, your PC.
Gone mad.
I am from the PC gamer master race. Yeah. Anywho, I want to violently agree with Gordon.
Just a quick turnaround from last week.
Yeah. I really enjoyed the mutual promise as well. I thought that was fantastic. I really liked the little story vignettes as well that went along with it.
Yeah.
It was great fun. I would definitely watch an entire set of that. I mean, I've talked about enjoying the kind of chiptune dance orientated stuff that Andrew Hung had done previously. Not the one you're thinking of. We don't need to see William Hung.
No.
He's a hero.
No.
So
no more of that.
So in the interests of speeding things along, I have nothing further to add. Bye. My thought broadcast to your brain is done.
No, really enjoyed it. Really enjoyed it. I liked, like Matt says, I really liked the synopses that went with the EP releases. And kind of just to kind of further along what Gordon said earlier as well, I think a live show would be very interesting. I think there needs to be something that accompanies the music.
Mm-hmm.
Just kind of maybe even beyond the realms of Chibi Tech dancing enthusiastically.
Mm. There is some audience interaction during Momokun Sub.
Audience interaction,
which is quite wonderful.
I think it would be really cool to have like a screen on the back with somebody playing the game that the music represents.
I think I agree with that, or some sort of audiovisual thing, even if it was fairly abstract, would be pretty good. But
live stage performance
or anime.
She does have kind of abstract kind of lo-fi stuff on the backdrop on previous performances. But I agree that it would be nice to have some kind of animated.
Or
8-bit thing going on the back.
Pixelated dancers in real life or representing characters.
Yeah. The other thing I thought of was when Trembling Bells had people on in costume reenacting something during an instrumental portion.
They had the troupe of Morris dancers at 18.
Yes. Yeah, yeah. So, I mean, kind of like a Chibi Tech version of that would be would also be really cool. But, I it's a genre of music that I was never aware of. I love the idea of people manipulating these kind of the music producing properties of old games consoles. I think that's a wonderful idea. So great fun. Really enjoyed it.
Good. I'm glad you all did. But I do recommend checking out some of her live videos that are on YouTube.
Yes.
Just to get an idea of the absolutely glorious nonsense of it all.
Yeah.
It's wonderful. I love it. And she's great. And I tried to get more information about her via her Twitter feed.
Yeah.
And when I first started following her, it was her saying that she was going to dedicate less of her time to this pop idol game that she'd been committed to for years.
That sounds good.
It's never going to come outside of Japan, let's be honest.
Oh. Yeah.
And then the following 2 months was her playing the pop idol game. Bless her heart.
Awesome.
She's my kind of person.
Winner. Any more points? Anything more to
Only if I can win. Now you can talk.
When?
Now.
Okay, how long have I got?
No time.
Right.
Faster.
So I'm representing the genre of Italo disco. So again, my selection is based on the artists that I think represent this genre, which is actually incredibly difficult because there's such a wide variety of what can constitute as Italo disco.
Yeah.
I've got some really interesting history, but I won't tell you it.
Check the Tumblr page later.
What I will say instead, because I do think it needs some kind of context, is that following the decline in popularity of disco in America and the UK in the late 70s...
Appropriately so.
And the burning of records and all of that nonsense, it was still incredibly popular across Europe.
Can we stop you there? Yeah. The burning of records.
Yeah, do you remember in that American football stadium, people could bring their disco records and set fire to them in the middle of that American football stadium?
Those are people in SS uniforms.
Look it up. Look it up, people. Know
they
your
now
disco
vote
history.
Trump.
Anyway,
I'm not denying that happened.
It did happen.
Yeah, I'm not denying that happened.
Yeah, yeah. I mean, it was quite
not
toxic
that
fumes and a bit unnecessary. And yeah, in today's recycling,
is that why like gas masks and things are really popular in dance music culture now?
Because follow
you've been going to some interesting clubs, haven't you?
Well, actually,
Alternate, wasn't it? Had the dust masks.
Yeah. Don't make me wait.
Fumes.
That was an Alternate thing. That wasn't an instruction.
Yes.
Don't worry.
Crack on.
Yes. So it was still very popular in Europe. The difficulty being is that as new music wasn't really being made and the cost of imports was getting more expensive due to the rarity, a new recording industry developed, particularly in Italy, where it was particularly popular. So people started making their own music, and there were those who were experienced producers and had all the latest gear, and others who were just fans and could get hold of the more affordable synths at the time. So the quality and description of where it actually began is quite difficult, and that's why there's such a wide variety. And actually the quirkiness of some of the tracks of people who really didn't have much experience. Italians, particularly in that time, were known for... tributing other genres, such as your spaghetti westerns, your giallo thrillers, your sword and sorcery type films, your horror films, that type of thing. So disco became another one of those open for interpretation Italian things.
An ATP related point. At a previous one that I went to, there was an Italian Star Wars knockoff, which included a suicide pact between the two droids.
Beautiful.
That was amazing.
But because they couldn't quite reinterpret it in the same way, it created something rather beautiful and new. Now, the actual term Italo Disco didn't become coined until the mid-80s, and it was actually the German label ZYX who still release things to this day. And actually, that's where I became aware of Italo Disco when I was in Germany. And I was in the record shop, and there was a whole Italo section, listened through some stuff, and was blown away. Now, don't get me wrong, there's some rubbish. But there's...
Yes, we did listen to that mandrill track that you told us to not listen to.
Well,
it still sent us the link to.
Yeah, well, we'll come back to that. I've just remembered a really interesting point from my... from last week.
Oh, yeah.
Yeah.
It's too late. last week is done.
Yeah.
It's dead.
Oh, okay.
If you send it to us, we'll put it on the Tumblr.
Maybe.
Okay.
Yeah, maybe.
Okay. But there's some really great stuff, and it's just, in my opinion, the right side of cheesy. You've got the great melodies, just really... The arpeggiator type synths, just great. It's stuff that gets me pumped, and if it doesn't get you pumped, then you're probably dead. So, notable tracks in addition to what I've chosen.
Same notes that you made last week.
It's a consistent theme.
I'm dead already by your reckoning.
It's a consistent theme. And again, the artists I've chosen, because again, it tends to be more one-hit wonders or one-off... tracks that have become popular rather than the artists themselves. And actually, a lot of these, even with the artists I've chosen, the lineups change quite frequently. You won't necessarily get the same people all the time as the years progress. Notable also, artists like the Pet Shop Boys, Erasure, and New Order were influenced by Italo Disco, and you can hear that in some of their records.
Boy, howdy, can you?
Ooh, yes, indeed. And a notable artist that I haven't included here, but I do recommend you listen, is Elvin Heart on Fire. But the ones that I've selected...
Is that all one word?
Now, Elvin is the artist. He's German, and it is an incredible EP.
Oh, Hartenfeier's name of the
song. Well, it's the B-side to... It's the B-side... it's actually the B-side. The A-side is Luggy, 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 which isn't a very good song.
Is that the Hampshire Hartenfeier's?
Incidentally, Elvin Hartenfeier was a character in a very badly run Dungeons & Dragons game that I was involved in. He ran a very disappointing record shop.
So the choices were the Radiorama Vampires. Yeah. That was the first Italo song that I... Well, it's not completely true, but it's the first Italo song that I realised who it was. Bobby Orlando, he's actually an American producer, songwriter. He's done so much stuff. And if you ever listen to any Bobby O songs, you know they're Bobby O. And with the stuff he's produced, like for the Flirts, you know it's Bobby O. Yeah. And interesting fact, he also produced the Man to Man song, if you know that one.
Anyway.
Yes. And then the other, I mean, in terms of trying to find information about the artist, it was a bit difficult. Yeah. So I'll just let their music do the talking. But a key theme is that their lineups change quite frequently in any case. So I wouldn't get too married to the idea of
the sugar, the sugar babes of Italy.
Well, the mother fall of disco.
Yeah.
So, Matt.
I really enjoyed listening to these. I enjoyed it disproportionately. However, I have some comments which refers to my Glass Houses comments, specifically related to the lyrics in Vampires.
Oh, yeah.
Which includes the actual lyric, blah-dy blah-dy blah, the moon is shining. Where I had to pause it and go back a couple of times and check what I'd heard.
Blah-dy blah-dy blah.
I'm sure it was blah-dy blah. The moon is shining. And also, Giving Up by Bobby O was definitely Blue Monday. Which came out the year before. It was 100% Blue Monday with a different vocal line.
Everything is influenced by
things. I really... Yeah, but there's influenced and then there's... It's the same.
Well, don't forget, it's the same era, so they probably used the same drum machine preset.
Yes, but also the bass line going bum 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 bum.
It didn't.
It did.
It went bum 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 bum.
All right, the melody line then.
There was a lot of bum.
We're splitting hairs, but that was definitely Blue Monday. It doesn't detract from my enjoyment. I had fun with this.
In the same way that Italian Star Wars knockoff, and then the Star Wars.
Oh, C-3PO in a Suicide Pattern R2-D2 is definitely what I wanted to...
Can I just mention another notable artist who people may remember, and certainly I certainly remember the video, Sabrina Boys?
Yes.
That was Italo Disco?
I have some similar notes to the Eurodance dance.
Eurodance.
section from last week.
Actually, Eurodance was definitely how it was... pronounced in one of the tracks.
Very interesting to hear lyrics written by people whose first language isn't English. Radiorama, definitely, the video for that definitely felt like, right, you handle all the lyrics, mate. And love, if you could just dance around in a vest with no bra on, that'd be superb.
Smashing.
And that certainly summed up Radiorama. I have no strong opinions, really. I didn't hate it. Some of it definitely felt quite dated.
Sorry.
But I didn't have any strong opinions kind of in the pro category. So it was culturally an interesting listen. And much like I said for the Eurodance last week, I imagine with a medley of three different artists, the stage is just going to be mental.
Mm. I want to go to there.
Well, I think I've got broadly the same comments as you guys. I think I'm more leaning towards Matt than John.
Yeah. I'm grinning broadly.
It was cheesy as all get out, but this time, the Eurodance one was the bad kind of cheese. This is a lovely... fragrant Stilton, with just the right kind of crackers, and it's It's good times.
I remember what I said to you, Gordon, while I was listening to it, which is it's funkier Kraftwerk. It's just lots of thirds on synthesizers playing fun riffs.
I got kind of a bit of the fun end of krautrock and a bit of a new wavy kind of vibe to it.
Yeah.
It's got kind of... I was going to say it's got a Daft Punk feel to it, but I mean that in the sense of punk that is daft,
as
rather than
to,
Daft Punk.
Yeah.
So I... What my feeling is, if this were on at a festival, and which obviously is the fucking point, they were going to be on in 5 minutes. If I was in an already good mood, I would be there. I'd be front and centre, and I'd be grinning like a buffoon. If I was in a bit of a shitty mood, it would probably just annoy the hell out of me.
But
that wouldn't be the fault of the performers. It would just be there's a certain quality to it. Would probably annoy me to all hell.
Yeah. Hmm.
But not normally, if I'm at a festival, I'm in a fairly good mood anyway, so it's much more likely I'll enjoy the absolute heck out of it.
What I would say is, if you check out the video, like Koto, that's a guy that I didn't include in my recommendations. He's probably the cheesier end, but if you watch his videos, he jumps about on his keyboard. You probably will recognise some of the melodies because they have been used or attributed since then. You will.
It's just more New Order, isn't it?
No. Charlie Spacer, the video to that, you can imagine that being on the live stage show. I mean, it's silly. It's fun. And also, it was the next evolution of this, of course, was the Tallow House. The piano-based house.
Is that run by the National Trust?
No.
Right then, Mr. Tyra. Dr. Tyra. Tyra, Dr. the...
Lord. I also go by Your Reverence.
Matt.
Or I accept just a genuflection.
That's a fucking genuflection for you right here, mate.
Thank you. The audience can't see it, but he was extremely reverential.
Very deferential. Yeah, so it's
excellent. I picked Juju, which is an interesting, fairly experimental band formed by Jamie Stewart, and has had a lot of different lineups over their albums. But I picked the album "Dear God, I Hate Myself" because I thought everyone else is having fun stuff in the middle of the afternoon for their festival. Somebody's got to put on their stage something a bit more for the sad people and the lonely people and the people who want to listen to songs which are all about why everybody else is terrible. So really, the choice spoke to me because...
Misanthropop.
Yeah, I mean the track "Dear God, I Hate Myself" has a couple of lines in it which are, why do they go there tonight? Why do they live there, all right? What do they do there? I've forgotten it. But the last line of it is, why do they live at all right, into the chorus. And I love that. I just need that. It's like, with Morrissey having become incredibly problematic...
Come on.
It's nice to hear a band which is like... is lyrically, it's got that misanthropy... But there's no restraint whatsoever.
Mm.
It will just go to dark places, and I like that sometimes.
Yeah.
And I also, I think, I'm not certain, but I know that they have used a lot of Nintendo DS sound effects in a lot of their music, which may well be what provides a lot of the sound effects on this record, I think.
Mm.
Pokemon.
But I haven't done... No, just the...
Not the Super Nintendo.
Can we put him back in his box yet?
I embarrassed myself there, didn't I, John? I embarrassed myself there.
Throughout this record, there's a lot of acoustic stuff and there's a lot of digital sounds as well, and it creates a very interesting atmosphere that I feel contributes something very different flavour-wise to this record and this... And I'd love to see them perform live because I think it would be really intense.
Yeah.
And sometimes I want that.
Yeah.
Does John agree?
No. I don't know. There's something about his vocal style that really got on my nerves. And as a consequence of that, I couldn't focus on what he was saying because the vocal style irritated me quite a bit. Which, again, that's not a criticism of him. It's more just how I reacted to
what I was saying last week repeatedly.
Exactly. Yeah. And as a consequence, I found it quite a difficult listen, unfortunately. So I was not as much of a fan as I hoped I would be, because I loved the album title.
Oh, incidentally, in the new lineup, he's got Thor Harris on drums.
No way.
Yeah.
Oh,
oh yes.
Who's that?
He's from Swans, did some stuff with Shearwater.
Yeah. Most importantly, he's called Thor.
He plays a mean drums and also clarinet and hammer dulcimer.
Yeah, and there was also an instrument that was kind of like it was kind of like a bowed water bowl kind of.
It's a singing
instrument.
Bowl, isn't it?
Oh, Dame Edna. Not Dame Edna. What's her name? What's her name? Evelyn Glennie.
How did I get that? I have been spending too much time with you.
You know who I meant.
I know exactly who you meant.
Yeah. One person in the room knew who you meant.
Well, it was when I was able to parse your broken group message to the...
It's something that listeners at home won't be aware of. We've been discussing this for quite a while via Facebook chat.
Yep.
And Gordon's phone doesn't appear to agree with his thumbs. And so half of what he writes is fucking gibberish. But it's got to the point where Matt can actually understand him before he clarifies what he's saying. It's terrifying.
Well, my fingers and phone don't marry.
Yeah.
Yeah.
They're living in sin. Anyway...
Mike, what did you think about my choice?
First thing I ever heard by them was actually a few years ago. It was, I think, a lot of people probably encountered this one first.
I love the Valley.
Chocolate Makes Me Happy.
Oh, Chocolate Makes You Happy, okay.
And I wasn't a particular fan of that track. So I kind of went into this with that in mind.
Which is on that record.
Which is on that record, and I wasn't a particular fan of it. But the rest of the record, I actually liked quite a lot more. With... a couple of minor reservations. Mm. My first note here is, what do they have against melody? because they'll kind of have a nice little melodic moment, and then they'll smack the absolute tits off it with some big blarting glitch of some kind. And these are two things I like. I like melody, and I like big blarty glitches. But I don't necessarily like one being forced onto the other. And so it was sometimes it worked quite well. It was a bit startling and just kind of rattled me a bit. And like, oh, well, this is keeping me awake. This is so it's obviously straight away not shit. And there were some tracks that I really, really enjoyed. But as an overall thing, I didn't warm to it. I felt like I was enjoying it as a cerebral exercise rather than anything a bit more, you know, deep down in the guts, really loving it. So I think this is one that I probably would check it out because I liked it more than I didn't, and maybe seeing the music performed live would be that vital flick of the switch to make me go, ah, that's why it's good, and then I'll be able to enjoy it all the more. But a good selection, unlike last week when you made an excellent selection. So you're still doing well.
I honestly thought that they'd be right up your street, given the melody and the glitch.
They should be. And that's the thing, sometimes...
Try Fabulous Muscles.
Well...
6 weeks.
The album...
that's a going 6 week big body there. Beautiful.
And Knife Play is very good as well.
Yeah, I do feel like maybe I either need to give it more time or try some different tracks.
Yeah.
But...
Fabulous Muscles is supposed to is according to the internet their best.
Mm.
I did air quotation marks, people listening at home, because I'm that kind of person.
He really is. But I think sometimes you like a band on paper.
Yeah.
Unfortunately, music isn't just on paper.
No, absolutely.
So it doesn't always fall together when you actually put it in your ears.
A lot of people expect me to like certain things, and then I end up going, actually, no.
Why are you recommending this shit to me?
No, I know why you've recommended this to me.
You understand the why, but...
But actually, there's no connection that I have with it, and I can't... I can't necessarily articulate why, because all of my boxes are ticked, yeah. but it's just not hit me at that level where I need to be stimulated.
That's waist level.
just below.
Yeah, but you're pretty much where I am on that one. So definitely don't hate it.
Mm.
Apart from still not getting on the chocolate makes me happy. So I don't know why.
Do you like chocolate?
I do like chocolate, and it does make me happy, which is all the more confusing. But anyway, I've said plenty, Gordon.
How do you say their name?
I think it's Juju.
It's either Juju or Shushu.
Yes,
it's something in that kind of area.
I am not great with languages, so I'm probably mangling everybody's pronunciation of everything. So
At work in the mobile phone industry. We have the Xiaomi range of handsets. They begin with the XIO, much like this is XIU, XIU.
To be honest,
it'd be a sh kind of sound at the start.
I have a slight chip on my shoulder because my surname is Tyra, and I have been Tyler, Tyner, Typer, Trier, Typher, Typhus, and Typhoid.
Yes.
And none of that is my name.
You think you got problems.
And mine is five.
And talk to Gordon Cocaine here.
Hello,
McLeod.
We all
spelled McLeod and McGeekin spelled like a mad fucking bastard.
So I've kind of lapsed into this position of we all get things wrong.
Yeah.
Pronunciation is
pronunciation.
Getting the C is subjective, and I'm sorry to any bands or artists whose names I've mispronounced. I apologise from the bottom of the shell of my heart.
Yeah.
So where does it come from? Not
what the apology?
I'm just curious.
I thought I was quite clear.
What's the name?
From the place it needs to be most stimulated.
Anyway,
what do you think of Xiu?
Xiu.
Xiu.
Because I always pronounce the X, you see.
Yeah.
It's like Ganasha and Ganippa from Beano. I always used to pronounce the G.
Really?
I was doing that for quite a while.
Yeah. And then you just become used to it. And if
until
you
I suddenly realised, oh, wait a minute! I get it now!
Yeah. But particularly when you've got...
And that's when I lost my innocence.
Yeah.
But you haven't got Ganache Bridges, have you? Anyway.
What?
I just need to say, Mike then did the face of a cat who has a hat placed on him against its will.
Okay, Gordon, what did you think of?
Well, in contrast to John and Mike, I really enjoyed it, and I thought I really liked his voice. I thought it was really distinct, really unusual. And it got me interested. And in stark contrast to what Mike said, I really like the chocolate makes you happy, as well as apple for a brain.
Apple for a brain, interestingly, is about the character Butters from South Park.
Hey.
Hence the chorus of Lou, 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 Lou.
I did
And
wonder.
Also, there's a line in it which is pretty explicit, which is just, and you holding Butters' hand. Oh yeah, oh yeah.
Tremendous.
Explicit about its meaning, not explicit in terms of...
cock.
Thanks, Mike.
Gordon.
I liked how... because I did listen to some lyrics on this one. And
oh, damn.
And I liked mind how blown. It went from silliness to disconcerting quite quickly.
Yes.
And then I had to stop listening, that is. And then I went back to just listening to the music rather than the lyrics. Mm. Secret Motel.
Oh, yes.
Awesome.
the sudden kind of distant vocals and then occasionally, choke me.
I've just written here, Cumberland Gap Like a Jig.
I think that's a cover of a traditional American folk song.
Oh, it makes sense. Because I had the
Cumberland
sort of...
Cumberland Gap does sound familiar in that sense.
Mm. Yeah, I really enjoyed it. Would listen to more.
Mm. Cool.
All right,
John,
No doubt.
Okay, it's me now, isn't it?
It's come back around to you, mate.
It certainly has. So, I believe we're on Duff's. Is that right?
Duff's step.
It's up to you, mate, but let's go with it.
Yes, this is Doves. So, the band that sounds like Manchester Feels is how I describe Doves.
I concur.
I don't know what it was about.
We'll find out what he thinks of both later.
Their albums always somehow captured an intangible feel of the city. So when I later discovered they were from Manchester, because I heard them and they made me think of being in Manchester, and then I discovered that they were actually from there, I was not surprised. They haven't split, as far as I know. I think Jimmy Goodwin has become a solo artist. They haven't done anything...
Is that the name of the band?
Yeah. They haven't
separate to Jimmy.
They haven't done anything as Doves since about 2009, but they haven't officially split. So I kind of live in hope that something will happen with the three of them again at some point. Their live shows are always really interesting because they kind of... They swap places. Jimmy Goodwin predominantly was bass and lead vocals, but every now and again they'd swap around and Jimmy would play drums and not take the lead vocal for it. So, really interesting band. Musically, they did lots of different things that didn't quite... They managed not to really sound like a three or four piece. They just sounded like... they were. Do you remember Sub Sub?
Mm. Yeah.
No.
Sub Sub, they had a song called Ain't No Love, Ain't No Use.
Yeah, yeah.
And that was them. They were big on the Hacienda.
Suddenly I feel very young.
It was a cracking tune. Great tune.
They were a big part of the Hacienda sort of dance scene in Manchester at one point. And then the Hacienda, their studio burnt down that they made all their music in. And out of the ashes of their studio burning down, they formed Doves, and they became a lot more sort of...
So they just missed the opportunity to call themselves Phoenixes.
Yeah. Oh!
Phoenixes.
It's this band.
Yes.
Oh!
So
yeah, yeah.
They started as Sub-Sub, and then they became...
Yes.
They became Doves and became a lot more...
That's how they got their name. Anyway. Yeah. Yeah.
Isn't that what the orcs say in Warcraft?
I know in Warhammer they say Warg.
Thanks, Mike.
So they became more sort of indie rock oriented than dance. So they kind of rebuilt the project after their studio burned down. And in fact, on their debut album, Lost Souls, there was a song called A House, which is kind of all about their old studio burning down and them having to figure out what they were going to do after that. So, but I saw them supporting Travis.
Yeah, that gave me a sad feeling inside.
I infinitely preferred Doves to Travis on that evening, but that they have a great sound. The bass properly just kind of rips through your chest and rearranges the order that your organs are placed in.
I'd like to add a disclaimer that nothing apart from total situs inversus can completely change the order of your internal organs.
Thank you, Dr. Tyra.
Oh, and surgery.
Doing right then,
yeah.
And
total situs inversus.
They sound good. Yeah.
Stage three.
Yeah. Cancelled.
Thanks, Barry. I really love Doves. The albums that they've made since Lost Souls. They've been consistent over their sort of four or five album spree. So, great fun. Mike.
Right. Doves.
Yep.
Listening.
Yep.
Music.
Words.
I'm aware of them.
Yeah.
Obviously.
Yeah, of course.
Firstly, I agree very much they are. They do sound like Manchester.
Yeah.
There's just something quintessentially Mancunian about them.
Mm.
One thing, I've heard a lot of Doves in my time. I've done some Doves.
What about when they cry?
Yeah, there's that sound as well.
Yeah. Partially, this may be thanks to me playing them a lot in the shop that we used to work in.
That, and also in my own independent listening.
Awesome.
What I have found overall is I don't love their albums.
Yes.
But I do love their singles.
Yeah.
So if you're inviting them along to a festival and they're going to play a festival set,
yes,
specifically all the hits,
mm-hmm,
I am so there for it.
Awesome.
But the minute I hear one of those fuckers say, here's something off such and such an album for the fans, I'm off to the bar. because I'm probably not going to be there for it. But I actually do have their greatest hits. I mean, yeah. I bought that a little bit ago, and it is All Killer No Filler. It's a great selection of music.
Yeah.
But I've never really got on with the studio albums.
Mm.
But that doesn't matter.
No.
Because we're not reviewing their albums. We're reviewing them as a potential festival performer.
Yes.
And like you say, if they're going to do a festival set, I am there for it.
They released a DVD a few years ago, which one of the bits on the DVD set was the filming of they played at the Eden Project.
Mm-hmm. Imagine that being good.
Yeah, yeah, it was proper good. They even played a couple of pieces from their sub days, I think.
Mm.
They
well, that's the thing. If they're going to play all the kind of the Duff singles and then they do an encore of Ain't No Love, Ain't No Use, then I am doubly there for it. Yeah. That would be amazing. Anyway, Gordo.
So the Doves.
No
embarrassment.
I just realised who they are.
Yeah.
Always good. We're on recording day.
Well, because
I should have mentioned it earlier. To be fair,
the reason being is that I used to know quite a lot of people who were into the Manchester sound.
Yeah.
And this was one of the bands that they would always talk about, but one that I've never really listened to knowingly, probably incidentally. Also, saying that though, there are a couple of tracks from the last broadcast and the Cedar Room, which I've definitely heard.
The Cedar Room was a big one. Things like There Goes the Fear, that was their big single from last broadcast.
So this is the first time I've really listened to them knowing who they were, but I didn't really know who they were until just now.
Yeah.
So anyway. So what I've put down here, actually my notes for this aren't very good, so I apologise. I like the M62 song because I used to have to drive M62 quite a bit. So I got where it was coming from. Where are we calling from? I don't know
where
if I've
we
written.
Calling from?
Yeah.
Is that like the open, that's the open
yeah, it's like an ethereal
it?
Sound, yeah, really, yeah, yeah. really into that type yeah. of. Satellites was a great sound as well. I really like his voice on that. Did you say there's two vocalists or?
There's three. Sometimes the drummer sings, sometimes the lead guitarist takes the lead vocal. Mostly it's Jimmy Goodwin.
Okay.
So Satellites is Jimmy Goodwin.
Okay. So is he the main man?
He sings most of the songs.
Okay.
Satellites is a gorgeous song.
Great. And I've got Friday's Dust with a little thumbs up. I haven't actually put a thumbs up, but there's a... Because I don't know how to do it on this without going into Wingdings and all that sort of thing. I've said, I'm not keen on all of the tracks, particularly the first few. And I did originally write, it gets better as it goes along.
Yeah.
But then I wasn't so keen on the end. So there's like a middle section. This is specifically the last broadcast. I know we're not reviewing the album. But those songs are the songs that... And I guess it's because it's more the instrumental sounds, again, that are coming through rather than the lyric-driven songs.
Yeah.
That really get me... I won't say that.
Don't say pumping.
No.
not again.
No. I'll save that for next week. I've put here probably not something I would listen to a lot, but I think it would be fun at the festival. And similar to what Mike has said as well, for the tracks that I like, I would really enjoy it. But if it's something which is a bit more... that I don't like, I wouldn't listen to. Yeah. Oh, that's obvious, isn't it? That's, I like the stuff I like, I do.
Yeah, yeah.
So what have I got here? Lost Souls. That's a album?
That's their debut album.
Right, said the Fire Suit as an example, really like that.
Yeah.
I must have a caveat here. I don't subscribe to Spotify or any music streaming media. I could only listen to snippets from each song. I did find a place where I could listen to almost a minute of each song, which was quite nice. So this review is purely based on skip. I did put down here, like the snare drum that they use in the song. I don't know why, it really resonates with me.
Yeah, yeah, yeah.
I've put down, I think this is still referring to the Fire Suit track, that it was almost like a Manchester Pink Floyd type of vibe.
Yeah, Fire Suit has, it's kind of like dropping your CV off, Fire Suit, because it's just got loads of different elements of stuff that they do a lot of the time. I wouldn't disagree with anything you've said there.
Only other thing I've put here is I was hoping the sea song would be a sea shanty
by the seashore,
but it wasn't.
It wasn't a sea shanty.
But the next track sounds like he was underwater, so that was interesting.
Anyway,
Matt,
Mr. Doctor,
it's strange.
Mr. Strange.
Yeah, let's not. Let's not do this. So, I will fully accept that they sound like Manchester Feels. I hate cities. Uh-oh. I did not like it. I did...
No?
No. I found nothing. I've had for probably the last 10 years, I've had... the last broadcast on my iPod, which somebody that I know from Manchester insisted that I put on there.
Yeah.
And it spends a lot of time being skipped because I have no connection with it.
And I know what you're like in cars as well.
And I know, yeah. So I listened to Lost Souls because obviously you recommended those two, and I've listened to bits of the last broadcast. And the conclusion that I came to is that I need to take the last broadcast off my iPod. that's where I came to with it. So many of the songs, particularly on the first half of that album, because I ran out of sufficient enthusiasm to finish it, all of them had just things done to the vocals that didn't need to be done. Like, there was one song that was just had like a one of those, I've forgotten what the hell the effect is called.
Phaser?
Yeah. Let's say phaser.
Or is it like a tremolo effect?
Yeah.
Was it set on stun?
I don't know. I see what you mean, and
yeah.
No.
Yeah.
It was at its lowest power setting.
Okay.
Tickle. No, it just... There was... I found the kind of... I was never into any Britpop, and it feels like post-Britpop.
That's fair.
Well, it was.
Yeah.
And
that's fair.
I didn't like Britpop.
Well, so Britpop... In the terminology of post-rock. And
yeah.
It feels like Britpop and then post-Britpop.
So, consequently...
It does feel like a continuation.
And if we can say anything about sticking the post on it, what it tends to mean is the thing, but a bit wankier. And sometimes that's really good.
Yes.
But in the case of this in particular, I found it obnoxious and intrusive. The guy's voice got on my tits from the get-go.
Yeah.
And adding effects, Fire Suite.
Yeah.
Was like, what the hell are you doing, man? Stop. Just let the instruments do their thing. In fact... For the entirety of Doves, just let the instruments do their thing and get rid of the vocalist. I've never had to say that with a band before because I really enjoyed the instrumentals. But the vocals ruined it.
Yeah.
Ruined it.
Yeah.
I feel strongly about this.
Do you have anything negative to say then?
Yeah, all the songs are too long.
I just want to say...
And I wanted to like Sea Song, but something about the way the vocals came in made me want to break things.
Ooh.
I've drawn an unhappy face, and I've written unpleasant Vox style, often spoiling nice instrumentals, e.g. Seasong, also Vox effects on Break Me Gently, and then I've put another sub-arrow and on Rise, and then I've written all in capitals, all the songs are too long, and then I stopped listening.
So you should have listened how I listened to it, and you could only listen to up to a minute.
That would have been perfect. I'm sorry to be quite so negative, but
I really wanted.
I found it. I had to do, because of not being very well. I had to do all my listening in one go, and Doves kind of broke me.
It's fascinating, though.
Did it break you gently?
No.
With his song.
I think that is the first one I think we've seen an actual Helter Skelter, and it's starting right on the top, and it's kind of.
Yeah.
As we've gone.
I just want to say, Matt's comments about what post. Generally means, I just want to say post-Brexit.
post office?
I am. Yes. Isn't it terrible these days? Isn't it just the worst, especially since they privatised it?
My post office. I was thinking
in the way that he meant it, like an office, but a post.
Funny enough.
So, like an office, but wankier.
Sorry, that just brings back that big train sketch.
Oh, yes. For the masturbating in the office.
No wanking in the office.
I went to a party in a, that guy behind the panel office.
You went to a party where what?
In an office.
Okay.
An old office. Like, right. It wasn't in use anymore. It was an old building. Like, a building with offices. And they put little candles up. I'll save that story for another time.
Right, so this is the point where
we wonder what we've done with our lives.
Which one of each other's acts?
I don't remember who did.
Come on, we need to finish this.
Well, so, I had doves, and then I will say doves because I think they'd be great fun. Okay. Everything that everyone else said.
So Gordon,
can I say Chibi Tech?
You can say Chibi Tech.
And should.
Yes.
Yeah. Italo Disco.
Yes.
Oof.
Decider.
I'm going to go Chibi Tech.
Yay! Ooh. I won one.
A very narrow margin there.
Over Italo Disco.
Yeah, I mean, it was generally quite a good selection.
Mm. Yeah. So,
uh-oh. That's my phone ringing again. Hello?
Yes.
Oh, hi, Barry's mum. Hi. Oh, no. That's a shame. Well, thanks for that. Tell him to stop crying. It's okay. Yeah, we forgive him. It's okay. Bye. Yeah, that was Barry's mum.
Oh, no.
He's all upset because, you know, he hasn't got the money together for this as well. He can't afford to cancel it on the day.
So what happened?
We're going to have to cancel it now.
What happened?
He's just shit. That's all it is. That's what Barry's mum said. It's literally what he says, like, Barry's shit. So I've told him he's going to have to cancel the festival now instead of on the day.
Oh, man.
Oh, no.
That's terrible.
So that's another one we've lost.
Oh.
So we're going to have to reconvene next week.
That's disappointing.
To try and put another festival together.
Okay.
Oh, with all new bands.
Fingers crossed we can get this one off the ground.
Yeah, that'd be nice.
Yeah.
Yeah.
Thanks for listening.
Thank you.
Goodbye.
Bye. You have been listening to All Yesterday's Party.
Hi, Barry's mum.
Sorry, he's just shit. The music is by Attack of the Vapors, and the podcast is hosted by Audio Boo.
And the Tumblr is on Tumblr, where we tumble the dumbbells.